Last week, I talked about really what I believe that the Lord is doing. And I talked about Peter and Satan and the sifting. And I said this, that the slowing down of our society, externally, it feels like God is speeding things up internally. With our maturity, with the opportunities that are in front of us right now. And I can honestly say this, I truly believe that we are on the brink of another reformation. I think we're on the brink of another great awakening. There have been times where the Holy Ghost was poured out and it actually brought to pass the scripture that said this, no man needs to be taught of the Lord, for everyone will know him and be taught of him. There's been times in history where the church did what they were supposed to do and the strange consciousness of God gripped the community. In the Hebrides years ago, men and women were sitting at bars, and when the power of God hit the community, they all got up weeping and went to the church, and a school dance was going on. And as the kids began to dance, what happened was, is the glory of God came in the place, and it said that the kids ran from the dance like people fleeing from a plague and made their way to the church. I'm ready to see some of that. I'm ready to see the glory of God. But I talked last week that there's a threshing. There's a sorting out in a time of great harvest. And I believe that this is going to be the time of the greatest harvest possibly that the church has ever seen. David, when he went to build the temple, he was laying in his house and he lived in a mansion and God was living in a tent. And he said this, how can I dwell in a mansion and my God be living in a tent? And God just kind of chuckles and he says, you know, I don't need a house built by man. I'll let your son build it. And so David went and he found the location to build the temple. And the strange thing was, is he built the temple on a threshing floor of Ornan. Can I tell you, back to last week's message, listen to it. The temple of God is being built on the threshing floor of our hearts right now. It really is. Now, In prayer and preparation this morning, I told Melanie I'm not going to keep you very long. But every time I start to talk about things like this, it's always kind of a kick in the gut because I'm always going to make somebody mad. And I don't mean to. I want to speak the truth in love. But I also feel like there's a great opportunity and obligation for us as believers. Ezekiel, the third chapter, says to be watchmen on the wall. And to wake up. The Lord told Ezekiel, he said, I set you forth as a watchman on the wall to look and to know what the enemy is doing. And Peter goes on to say, don't be ignorant of the devil's devices. There is still a devil, and he's not omnipotent, all-powerful. He's not omniscient, all-knowing. And he's not everywhere all the time. But the Lord commanded us to have our loins girt about us, and our lights burning, and to be, it didn't just say to pray. It said to watch and pray, right? He told Ezekiel this, he said, if you see an assault of the enemy that's coming, and you warn the people, and they don't listen to you, he said, they might suffer the consequences of rejecting the word of the Lord. He said, but if you warn the people and they do listen, he said, you'll redeem a nation, you'll redeem a people, but the ones who reject it, he said, their blood won't be on your hands. I think there's a lot at stake, especially right now. The day of having life as normal is over. So why not the day of having church as normal be over? Right? I said there's going to be a great outpouring. I believe that there's a great outpouring. I believe that there's a great awakening. In Joel, the second chapter, it talks about an outpouring. And right before, we like to quote the scripture where it says, in the last days I'll pour my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams and see visions. And upon my handmaidens and upon my servants, I'll pour out my spirit in those days. We like that part, but there's something that happens before that outpouring. Now, we realize the Holy Ghost has come, the outpouring has happened, but how many of you know that happened 2,000 years ago? It's still being poured out from generation to generation. So if it was valid then when Peter said it, it's valid for us today. And what it says before the outpouring, it says, let the ministers and let the people intercede between the porch and the altar. Let them rend their hearts. Let them be tender to my voice again. It says, because, it goes on to say this, let the bride come out of her closet so the bridegroom can come out of his chamber. I think it's time for the bride to come out of the closet. Because the groom could be about to come out of his chamber in a new way in our generation. So if we could, we're going to go just for a short time this morning. Let's head over to Matthew, the 10th chapter. Melanie woke up a couple days ago, and she had the scripture out of Psalm 66:12. It said, the Lord has brought us through the fire and the water and has delivered us to a wealthy place. I turned on the TV, and it looks like everything's on fire and everything's getting flooded. I'm like, God didn't do it. I'm going to say that again. God didn't do it. But he's there in the midst, the same place he always is, to redeem, to receive, to restore our culture. And so, if you would, let's just stand to our feet real quick this morning. I got two Bibles this morning. I think I'm going to read out of the, what is it, the Passion Translation? Beginning with verse 24. This is unpopular stuff. But Jesus was not trying to win a popularity contest. You know that. Jesus says, the student is not superior to his teacher anymore. Then a servant is greater than his master. The student must be satisfied to share his teacher's fate. And the servants his masters, if they have called the head of his family the Lord of the flies or Beelzebub, no wonder that they shall malign the members of his family. Don't be afraid or intimidated by others. For God will bring everything out into the open and every secret will be told. What I say to you in the dark, repeat in the broad daylight, and what you hear in a whisper, announce publicly. Don't be in fear of those who can kill the body, but not your soul. You can just circle that in your neighbor's Bible. Don't be afraid of it. Fear only God, who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You can buy two sparrows for only a copper coin. Yet none of these one sparrows fall to the ground from its nest without the knowledge of your Father. Aren't you much more valuable than many sparrows? So don't worry, for your Father cares deeply about even the smallest detail of your life. If you openly and publicly acknowledge me, I will freely, openly, and acknowledge you before my Father. But if publicly you deny me, and say that you don't know me, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. Perhaps you think I've come to spread peace and calm over the earth, but my coming will bring conflict and division, not peace. Because of me, a son will turn against his father, a daughter her mother, and against her mother-in-law within your own families. You'll find enemies. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not fitting to be my disciple. Whoever comes to me must follow my steps and be willing to share my cross and experience it as his own. He cannot be considered to be my disciple. All who seek to live apart from me will lose all. But those who let go of their lives for my sake and surrender it, it says, we'll discover true life. Let's just add your blessing to the reading of the word this morning, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Lord, I thank you I thank you for an awakening. I thank you, Lord, that maybe some of us who have gotten lazy or lax or fallen into slumber, Lord God, I thank you that you're going to invoke a passion on us like never before. I thank you that you have raised up a remnant people with the grace of God that overpower any mass majority of the consensus of this world system. Lord, I thank you because there's more for us than against us in you. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. For a while now, we've been seeing key indicators to certain things that we thought would never, ever happen in our society. And I believe that we are on the brink and the cusp of a tipping point for our whole nation. Now, people say, don't talk about politics in church. But he's not only Lord of Lords, King of Kings. He's just not only a priest, he's a king, right? Jesus is very political, and he is very priestly. And every Christian today that carries the mantle of Christ, the Bible says in Revelation, the first chapter, that you are kings and priests. And sometimes it says that we're going to have to stand up and say something when nobody else does. And sometimes that's a hard thing. Now, I want to say this. I've seen Christians that look like they've been baptized in pickle juice, right? I've seen mean Christians, which is a contradiction. The Bible doesn't just tell us to tell the truth, right? It tells us to tell the truth in love. That we've got to marinate everything that we say about the gospel and compassion because we got to realize that we were there once as well. And that before the grace of God go I, right? So we can't cast judgment and guilt and shame upon people. But we do, if we love, we've got to tell the truth in love. Things are changing so quickly. I've been going into Supermax Penitentiary for 27 years. 27 years I've been going into Supermax Penitentiaries. For years, I went 2 and 3 times a week while full pastoring here as well. And I didn't think much about it. I thought a lot about it, but I didn't see how things had sped up on the other side that much until, I got my orientation last year to go back into the penitentiary, which now we have to do that every year. And so I was told by the administrator, now realize, I've been running the aisles in church, in my prison church, for 27 years, right? It's culturally mixed. It's wonderful. People from all kinds of different backgrounds. And I wanted to be a little bit of salt, a little bit of seasoning in that culture. I wanted to be, like the Bible says, a little bit of leaven until the whole lump becomes leaven. I wanted to be a mind molder, an influencer, and a blesser when I went in there. Now, when I went through orientation this time, what happened was, is they said, continue to do what you're doing. I'm like, well, good, because that's all I know to do, right? But you can't lay hands on the sick anymore. You can't lay hands and pray for the sick anymore. You also cannot say Jesus is the only way. And you cannot prophesy. Well, that kind of, I mean, I can talk about what Jesus did, but he didn't just do it for me. He wants to do it through me. You got to figure out how to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove because we woke up into a culture that's not going to accept what we're doing anymore. If you're doing something. In the scripture here, it talks about Jesus. And by the way, if it's in your King James Bible, these are the words in red. And the fruit that it wasn't just an old covenant mentality is that the fruit of what Jesus told the disciples to do, every single one of them went out and did and were persecuted for it. Every one of them. Every disciple of Jesus was martyred. John the Baptist survived boiling in oil for one message. For God so loved the world. for one message, that Jesus loves people. To every single one of us, if you're a believer today, he has committed to you a ministry of reconciliation. The Holy Ghost is living on the inside of you, and he's crying out, be reconciled to God. That's our clarion call. That's our summons. And whosoever will, the scripture in Revelation says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And so we're not just asking people to come to something. We're asking people, now this is the bone that sticks in the throat of many people. We're not just asking people to come to something. We're asking people to come out of something. And that's where the division happens. We're not just asking them to come to Jesus. We're asking them to come out of that thing that they were in and let the grace of God meet them at that one step. You take one step towards Jesus, he will take 1,000 steps towards you to fulfill the finished work in your life. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Can I have an amen on that? He is the Prince of Peace. The Bible says when we walk into a city, you and me, when we walk into a city, it says we are to declare the kingdom of God to them. We are to heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils, and to declare the year of God's acceptance. That's our responsibility. If you keep reading, it says this. If they don't hear what you got to say, shake the dust off your feet. Now, I don't know when we're supposed to shake the dust off our feet. I still don't know that. Because there's people that I've been like Chinese water torture to over the years. I've gone to him again, gone to him again, gone to him again, give him the gospel again. And I walk away and I'll say, they're never going to get it. And sure enough, lo and behold, I turn around and they made it. One plants, one waters, and God gives the increase. So I don't know when the shaking of the feet, except by the Holy Ghost. But the Bible says to reject the gospel and shake off your feet, it says it'll be more tolerable for that city or for Sodom and Gomorrah than that city in the day of judgment. That's some heavy stuff. He is the Prince of Peace. And he says this, if when you give him the gospel and you bless me, if your peace comes back to you, keep it. That means when we put peace over a community, it is a tangible, atmospherical impartation to change a community. And if a community rejects it, the peace comes back to us. He's the Prince of Peace. He gave us the shalom blessing to pray over communities. And the Bible actually says that our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. As Christians, wherever I go, peace goes. David said something in the Psalms. He said, I want peace. I just want peace. Anybody just want peace? I just want peace. But like Rodney King, I just want us all to get along. I want people to love each other. I want people to hug each other. I want people to be affectionate to one another. David said, I want peace, but all they want is war. The reality is, and this is a hard statement, the gospel does divide. It doesn't divide out of a critical spirit. And God is all-inclusive to the degree that God wishes that none should perish, but that all should be saved. God is all-inclusive because when we were yet sinners, it says that he died for unrighteous. When he was hanging up on the cross, he said, forgive them, Father, for they do not have a clue what they're doing. So he is very merciful. He is long. How many know God is long-suffering? The Bible says that the Lord is long-suffering, hoping that a few more might enter in and that none would perish. God is long-suffering. How many, if it was most of us, I would have created a bigger world with better people and said, see ya. If after generation and generation, God has been rejected in so many places in so many ways, but I'm thankful he's not like us. I'm thankful he's not. He said, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. That is a hard scripture for people that are peacemakers that want to make peace. I found out if I'm offended, if I've offended people because of stuff I've done, and let me tell you what, I have. Accidentally, not intentionally. I shook the hand of a lady leaving the church one day as her first Sunday here. She smelt me, said, what's that you're wearing? I told her what the cologne was. She said, you smell just like my ex-husband, and I never saw her again. I mean, it is undeniable. You're going to offend some people, sometimes on accident, sometimes out of ignorance. You're going to offend some people. Sometimes you're going to be a good Christian and you're going to do the wrong thing. The wrong way. It just is. When I offend somebody, I can do something about that. I can go to them in a spirit of meekness. I can say I'm sorry. I can try and make recommends. I can repent before the Lord and approach them in a spirit of meekness as well. I can do that. When I've offended somebody, but when the gospel's offended at somebody, or when the gospel's offended somebody, I can't do anything about that. The Apostle Paul said it like this: am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? And Jesus says to those of us that are living epistles, carry the word of God without compromise, the very truth that sets free also will make people mad and bring division. And for us to try and make peace in situations where the Bible says there won't be peace is for us to sacrifice real peace for a pseudo peace that Jesus never said was supposed to exist. It's called going along to get along. Peace is not appeasement. Can I say that? See, the world and some churches, they look at the church as a bunch of people that are hippie beatniks, we're holding hands, and we're just wanting to grab a hold of everybody and sing kumbaya. But without the truth of the gospel, that's just a bunch of people holding hands, going down the same toilet bowl together and feeling better about it. Dear God, did I just say that? That is the truth. That is the truth. It doesn't mean that we're critical of people. It doesn't mean that we're judgmental of people. Because Jesus wasn't. How many of you love John 3:16? Mark it on your face during football. Hang the banner up in the amphitheater. Put the sticker on your car. John 3:16. In fact, they asked one politician years ago. You know, they always ask a politician when the politician is like a shapeshifter. They're a different person for whoever they're talking to, you know. So this politician, he was speaking to a bunch of Christians, and they asked him, they said, what is your favorite Bible verse? And he said, John 16:3. John 3:16 is for God so loved. John 16:3 is, and they shall do these things because they neither know me nor the Father who sent me. I think he just prophesied. I think he actually told the truth. Yeah. Can I just say that? For God. He could have said, for God loved. He put that, how many of them, that so means something. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God has not sent his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through the Son the world might be saved. Can we have an amen on that? Amen. We all believe that. Dude, we got to believe the second part, right? We're not in our multiple choice Bible. God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but through his Son the world might be saved. It says, and this is the condemnation, that they rejected the Son because they love sin, is part of our world condemned. Not by chance, but by choice. By the rejection of the truth of God. You know what? If God's word offends me, you know what I gotta do? I gotta realize that I'm wrong and he's right. Anybody ever been offended at the word? Buddy, I have. Whenever I'm offended at the word, I try and justify what I do and find some scripture so that I can legally twist it into whatever suits me. And that's what happens when we take our lens. I'm coming from the world. I take my world lens, I read the Bible through the world that I'm in, and I begin to modify the Word of God based on the world that I live in. But the Bible is the exact opposite of way. Opposite of that, you put the lens of the Bible on and it begins to change the world that you see. A dividing. I want the whole nation to be saved. And it will not be saved through compromise, friends. It won't. It won't. We got to tell the truth in love. What if the division that we're seeing right now, because we're going to hear a bunch of people, if you elect me or if you do this, you know what's going to happen? You elect me, I'm going to get everybody together. You don't have the power to do that. What if the reality is the truth of the gospel goes out, the people of God stand up, and the people of God wake up, and we tell the truth in love, and it brings division. And if it does that, it's supposed to, because there is a difference. There's a difference. There's a difference. I know this is like old times. You know, some people might say today that I'm preaching just an old time condemnation sin, but I'm not. I'm not. He's radical about you. He loves you. He loves you so much. He loves you enough to tell you the truth. I don't want a friend that won't tell me my zipper's unzipped. I don't want a friend that won't tell me I got a booger hanging out my nose. I don't want a friend that won't tell me I got bad breath. And I definitely don't want a friend that won't correct me if I'm going to hell. That's not a friend. That's not a friend. The gospel of appeasement is like this. I'm going to give my kid what they want, so that they still like me and won't have a fit. You're not doing that for the kid. You're doing that for your own selfishness. And so what happens is when we say, you know what? I can't tell the truth in love. I'm not going to preach the gospel. I'm not going to stand up and say, you know what? This is wrong, but God's grace is sufficient to help you with it, right? This is wrong, but God's righteous standard can be lived in your life. As you walk with him, the scripture will renew your mind. But the Bible says the word of God is a sword and it divides asunder joint and marrow, mind and spirit and the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And my question for us this morning is, are we willing to stand for the truth and love people to the degree that we actually stand for the truth? Even if it costs you a friendship. Even if it costs you a family member, I'm not talking about you. I am not afraid of hanging out with anybody that's in a bad situation. Because I believe that greater is he that's in me. I'm not afraid of that jumping on me, right? But the very fact that you take a standard should awaken the consciousness of people. I'm going to say it like this. The peace that keeps me. Anybody got peace in here? I'm talking God's peace. The peace I give, the world doesn't give to you. You can't get it from the world. The world's peace is everybody gets a free meal. Everybody gets free housing. Everybody gets the same thing. Everybody can go to the nanny state and get what they want. But God's peace is when I do what God told me to do and it looks like everything's going wrong. I got something on the inside of me telling me I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. Yeah. I've got an anchor for my soul. The peace that keeps me, if I'm living it, is the same peace that should convict others. If I say, I love God, I'm living, this is why I believe the way that I believe. That's like why in our culture right now, and in our campuses, in our society, I've never seen such a lack of free speech in my life. Because it seems like everybody can shout something, but somebody that wants to discuss the truth. And whenever it's called a cancel culture. The cancel culture says this: in the minute that Grant says something that I don't like, I don't want to hear the debate. I don't want to hear the truth. The Bible calls that willfully ignorant, or I'll call it stupid on purpose. I mean, I know that's true, but I don't want to hear it. Right? And so the minute you give truth and love and they reject the truth and they actually get mad at you because of the truth, then all of a sudden there's a cancel culture. They try and shut down your ability to speak the truth so that they don't have to hear it. because it brings a judgment inside of themselves. It's a mirror that causes them to see the true condition that they're in so that God can wash them and change them. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. I know this is not, it's not popular, but it's true. I hate alarms. I need alarms. I never understood. I wake up like 4 times a night. I wake up at like 2 in the morning. I wake up at 3 in the morning. I wake up at 4 in the morning. I get up at 5 in the morning. Finally lay in bed from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock and finally decide, well, if I'm going to lay here, I might as well get out of bed tired, right? Just my mind gets to spinning. I get stuff in my heart. But what really bothers me is when I finally get to sleep and the alarm goes off. You remember? I hate alarms. Alarms are not designed to make you happy. The gospel is not designed to make you happy. It's designed to make you holy. But if it makes you holy, it gives you peace. And the Bible says joy unspeakable and full of glory. When the alarm goes off, the first thing I want to do is hit it. And sometimes for the church, the alarm's got to go off. We've got to wake up and say, okay, if I don't share the gospel, who will? If I don't tell the truth, who will? I've got to be a watchman on the wall. I realize that the fate of a generation is held in my hands and what I do and in my mouth and what I say. And I think the world might go on for another 1,000 years before Jesus comes. But I also realize this. I've got one chance for one generation to make a difference. And my little girls are going to look at me someday in a time such as this and say, Daddy, what did you do when this happened? What did you do when revival and reformation happened in the middle of chaos and conflict? What are you going to do? Or what are they going to look at me and say, Daddy, what did you do? Why, you watched this country become a dumpster fire. And you sit in your nice house thinking it's not going to come here. It's all going to be okay. All heaven and all hell is coming to a theater near you. And I've got a choice. The gospel is a gospel of conflict and comparisons. Sheep and goats. I've had people ask me recently, how do you know? How do you know if somebody's a sheep or a goat? That sounds pretty judgmental. How do you know if somebody's a Christian, but they're just immature, right? Because immature Christians can get in the flesh and do crazy things that a lost person would do, right? You got a new heart, you got an old way of thinking, you got old behaviors, you know, it's just, you're on the growth curve. How do you know if somebody is a goat or a sheep? By the way, I'm talking about this morning. Some people are saying, you're judging me. No, I'm not. I'm just saying what Jesus said, okay? I'll tell you what I think, but I'm going to tell you what Jesus said. And if what Jesus said makes you mad, then ask him how to change and get happy. So I got somebody. They're acting just like a sinner, but I just saved them. I just saw them, Jesus just saved them, but I just baptized, I just saw them get born again. I just saw a change in their heart, and then all of a sudden they start acting crazy and stuff. And so I'm like, okay, did they really get saved or didn't they? Are they a sheep or a goat? And I found this. All I got to do is bring them to the Word and say, hey, I love you. The Word says this. And, you know, I'll help you through it. I know we're all on the learning curve, and God's grace is sufficient. If I've had people say, I don't like it, I don't believe it, and walk out. 3 days later, say, the Holy Ghost has been convicting me. I can't get away from it. You quit talking, but Jesus didn't. And I don't like it, but you're right. How many know that's a good heart? But if you give them the Word, and they make it personal, and they hate it, and they reject it, and they even lie about you because of it, and fight against you. By the way, it's our job to pastor sheep. I want to say this, it's not our job to barbecue goats, all right? It's not. But it is our job to communicate the contrast between right and wrong, between righteousness and wickedness, between foolishness and wisdom, between being saved and being lost, between Jesus and every other god that is inferior to the truth of the gospel. I want to have a righteous standard in me that when I tell the truth in love, it sets free. Scripture says this. It says, no man can serve two masters. He'll either love the one and hate the other, or hate the one and love the other. It's a kingdom in conflict. Now, God's kingdom is not in conflict. Jesus is on the throne. Jesus said it is finished. Jesus said there's going to be some battles in your life, but I'm going to tell you what, if you stick with me, the war is already won. It's already won. That's my confidence. But when you tell the truth of the gospel and it begins to bring division, I want to say this, stand in truth, stand in love, be an anchor for people's soul, be a tent stake for people in the truth, in love. And in this time right now, I'm telling you, let's not compromise. Let's not compromise because the pressure, we always say the same fire that melts the butter hardens the clay. How many of you know the pressures of this world are designed to perfect the diamond inside of you, like a piece of coal, the pressures of this world, that there has not been a prophet in the Bible that didn't have to stand up and say the truth in love without a bunch of mean people looking at him saying, I don't believe it. You are a remnant this morning. You are a mighty minority. You and the Lord are greater than anything that's happening in the world. But you get, it's almost like in Elijah's day, the prophets of Baal are screaming. Elijah's sitting back. And he stands up and he looks at the people. And these people are supposed to be religious. They're supposed to love the Lord. They're God's nation. And he says, you know what? If Baal's God, serve him. But if God's God, serve him. In this time right now, I'm going to tell you what, we are called. I feel like in a message like this, I got to give a million disclaimers. We are called to love everybody. But I don't want to love them to hell. I want righteousness to come in Deuteronomy. In fact, Grandma Sue was reading Deuteronomy, the 29th chapter, the other day. And she said, have you read Deuteronomy 29? I said, yeah. And she said, I'm reading Deuteronomy 29 and everything that it says about a nation that falls away from God, everything line upon line is happening. Isn't that what you said? Like, everything's happening. And then you go into Deuteronomy 30. And it specifically tells you this. It says, I sit before you blessing and cursing. Life and death. It says, choose life that you might live. In the last election, 26% of Christians voted. 26%. I believe in praying. I believe in intercession. I believe in fasting and praying. I believe in telling the truth. And I also believe that faith without works is dead. And I feel like at this time, and I'm not looking for any politician to save me. Can I tell you that right now? I'm not looking for any. I'm not voting on people. I'm voting on policy. And I go down the list. Boom, 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 boom. And you know what? I'm not Republican or Democrat. I'm in a different kingdom that is called to hold this kingdom in check. You go out on a football field, and each team gets a playbook, right? So the Bengals have their playbook and the Raiders have their playbook, right? So you got two kingdoms coming against each other. But then there's a third kingdom. It's called the referee. And the referee has the power to hold both kingdoms to account. To call foul, to call fumble. That's the kingdom we're in. Our kingdom owns the teams at the end of the day. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And we've got to be the referees in this society to say this is right and this is wrong. And that is out of bounds with the word of the Lord. That's my kingdom. And that's my stance today. 26% of believers voted. That means 74% stood against Christ. That is a harsh statement, Dan. I'm saying there's a choice. If you refuse to choose, you chose. If you refuse to choose, you chose. The Bible says, I'd rather have you hot or cold, but if you're lukewarm, you're not fit to enter into my mouth. I would rather have you. Rather have you choose. I want to pray for us this morning. Because I feel like we've got a short time for big things to happen in a big way. Regardless of your background, your ethnicity, your upbringing, your social status, your education, regardless of where you come from, the reality is that there is a kingdom in which all the kingdom someday will wake up to the fact that they are subservient to. And it will be the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And of that kingdom there shall be no end. I'm so glad Jesus can't be elected out of office. Because the way some of y'all are looking at me, you might have voted him out on this one. It's tough. I love my wife. There's an old song that they used to sing. If none go with me, still I will follow. I love my friends, but if my friends aren't going to go with Jesus, I'm still going to go with Jesus. I love my family, but if my family doesn't go with Jesus, I'm not saying I'm shutting them off. I'm just saying I'm going to go with Jesus. Even if there's a rift, even if there's a divide in our relationship because I love Jesus, even if that happens. In fact, I would say this. I don't know of anybody that truly accepted the Lord where there wasn't a sword come into their life very soon after they accepted him. Like I've said before, one of my friends looked at me after I got saved and said, I hate you and I don't know why. That's a hard statement. I mean, like I could give them a lot of reasons to hate me. I mean, it wasn't because of anything I'd done to them or anything like that. It was because of something that I was doing. It was something that I was believing. It was somebody that I was with. Don't put any relationship, don't put any political affiliation. Don't put anything above Jesus right now. And don't be afraid to stand for the truth that sets free. Let's stand to our feet this morning if we could. Let's just pray for us this morning. Lord, there's like three unpopular concepts in this message this morning. It's like surrender to Jesus, submit to his will. And if you do, you might suffer for righteousness. You know what? I just got to dance a jig because you know what? I've never been beat up for the gospel. Can you be thankful for that today? You've never been beat up for the gospel. People haven't broken into your house because you're a Christian. We haven't had our church burned down. Amen. We haven't. We got it pretty good. But in the blessing of the Lord that we have right now, can I share something? In the next years to come, let's not take those blessings for granted, because if we fall asleep during the time, the Bible says this, it says, a foolish son or daughter sleeps during the time of the harvest. I'm telling you right now, it is a time of harvest for us. The wheat and the tares have grown up together. Things are coming to the surface, and it's time for us to choose what we're going to stand for. And so I just pray for us this morning. A mature believer is willing to confront false peace, do the right thing to bring about real peace. Lord, I just ask this morning. I don't even know if this is the right word, Lord, but I just ask that you'd give us the chutzpah. You'd give us the tenacity. You'd give us the wherewithal. You'd give us the courage mixed with your grace to take a stand. Those of us that might sacrifice freedom for false peace, at the end of the day, we'll find we get neither. And so, Lord, I pray you put a firebrand upon us, Lord. I pray that we become those peacemakers, that we carry the gospel of peace. We carry the peace blessing. And even as you said, listen, if people dislike us because of our conviction of truth, Lord, it's not that they hate us, it's that they don't like you. If the master is called the devil in their eyes, what will the master servants be called? If the father is called that, what will the sons be called? So I pray, Lord God, you give us, this is a prayer for all of us. I pray you give us tender hearts and thick skin. Amen. Tender hearts and thick skin in the name of Jesus. I want to ask you this morning, is there anyone in this church that wants to accept Jesus Christ this morning? You want to translate from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son, to the kingdom of light. You want to take off ashes, you want to put on beauty. You want to take off despair and you want to put on praise. You want to go from being orphan in spirit to being adopted by the Father of lights. I want you to slip your hand up and I want to pray for you. Yeah. Anybody, just stick your hand up. I'm going to pray for you. I love y'all. I was at a hotel in Florida one time. And there was a clerk there and he just had a different spirit. He didn't have a Jesus t-shirt or on anything. Have you ever been around somebody you just knew they had to be saved? I mean, it was beyond nice. It's like this young man had light in his eyes. And I looked at him and I said, I didn't say, would you come to church, which that's not a bad thing. I said, do you love Jesus? And he said, not as much as he loves me. I said, good answer. Everybody love Jesus this morning? Not as much as he loves you. I promise you that.